I know these chairs are getting a little hard, but just a few more minutes and you'll be free. Let's just look to the Lord and ask His blessing on His Word. Our God, our Father, how we thank Thee for our precious Savior, whose love has laid hold upon us. We thank Thee for that gospel message that has won so many of our hearts by sovereign grace. Lord, should there be one still in their sins, we pray that they might turn now at the close of these meetings, find the joy of knowing the Savior, knowing sins forgiven, knowing God as their Father. Lord, we ask Thy help with thanksgiving in that worthy name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to turn for just one part of a verse to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm just going to read part of the 27th verse. First Samuel 1:27, for this child I prayed. For this child I prayed. That's a verse that has often touched my heart. And I see a good share of the children that were here have gone on their way now, but a little thought that I'd like to pass on to you who are parents, mothers, grandmothers, fathers, and grandfathers. For this child, I prayed. Most of you probably have a praying mother or had a praying mother. I did. I thank God for that. I know my mother often prayed for me, and I thank God for answering her prayers. Is your mother, perhaps it's a grandmother, that knew and loved the Lord? She may be gone. She may have passed on. She prayed for you for years. Have you come to know the Savior yet? Has that prayer been answered? Well, there's one more opportunity. In these meetings, the last gospel meeting, the last few minutes, won't you receive the Savior tonight? If you have a praying mother, or had a praying mother, or a praying grandmother, she'd love to know that those prayers have been answered for you. I just want to tell you a little story that happened in our bookstore a couple of years ago now. A man came into the bookstore, and I happened to be there, and he was so happy. He said, I'm saved. He said, I'm saved. I want to tell you how I got saved. He said, I was for years rebelling against the Lord and fighting against the gospel. Had no use for the Lord. But he said, the Lord allowed many, many situations in my life to stir up my heart, but I put them all aside. Turned the Lord down time after time. So the last time, he said, it was last winter. Another feller and I decided to go bird catching, shooting seabirds in January. And it was very cold, and there was what we call slob in the harbor, the floating particles of ice all over. Very cold in salt water, So they went bird hunting. He wasn't a man that was careful about safety and things. He was reckless, shall we say. Reckless. So they went out bird shooting here in January, and they got a couple of birds. And by and by, what he called a rogue wave came along, a big wave. And it turned over their boat upside down, and they in the water. And it wasn't a warm ducking, I can tell you. And they lost their birds, of course, but that was small concern. They couldn't swim. This man couldn't swim. And he still didn't turn to the Lord. He thought, boy, now it's time to cry out to the Lord to save him, but no. But the Lord had his eye on this man. I was going to say young man, but he was now older than me anyway. Considerably older than me, I think. Although a life lived like he had lived his life, it's hard to tell how old somebody is. Sometimes they get older looking. But anyway, he was in the water, freezing cold, and the Lord sent another rogue wave along. And it got a hold of their boat and tipped it back over. And when they come to think of it, the two of them were both in the boat. Unbelievable. But it's true. The only trouble is the boat was 3/4 full of water, and they were about up to their chest in ice and water. Very, very cold. Still not saved. And finally they froze. It was that cold that they lost consciousness. And by and by, another boat saw them, went out to rescue them, and pulled up alongside, and there's two lifeless men sitting in this boat, water up to their chest. Well, they said, well, we better tow the thing into shore, which they did. They towed them into shore, and the men were dead, so they took them out of the boat, threw them in the snowbank. What are we going to do with these fellas? So by and by, a car came along. It was a station wagon. And the fellow said, well, throw them in the back of my station wagon, and I'll take them down to the hospital, down to the morgue. So that's what they did. They threw him in his station wagon, and they took him down to the hospital, two of them. And the amazing thing is, after 2 days, you know, they covered him with blankets and all kinds of things that they would do. Some medical people here know a lot more about what they would do. But after a couple of days, he opened his eyes, came to, still alive. And while he was there in the hospital, he began to think, I'm a lost sinner. And my Father has prayed for me for years. And I put it off and refused the love of God. And right there in the hospital, he accepted Christ as his Savior. Couldn't get any closer to death than he did. And oh, I was so amazed at this story. I said to him, that's so interesting. I said, I want to pray for you. I said, would you tell me your name so I can pray for you? He said, Abe Lehman. I almost fell on the floor. About 41 or 2 years earlier, Abe's father, who was also Abe Lehman, and myself and Mr. Earl Ensign and another brother, we had been on our knees in Abe Lehman's kitchen praying for young Abe that he'd be saved. You know, I prayed for him for a long time, but you know how it is. After a while, you forget. Years went by. And here's young Abe Lehman, saved by the grace of God. It was just a thrill to meet him. And he lived in Port of Bass. If you ever come our way to visit, by the way, you're welcome. We'll be glad to see you. You come through Port of Bass, you might look him up. I looked him up a month later, I suppose it was. And here I found he lived in the very house where his father had lived now. His father had been with the Lord for many years. And there was that kitchen floor that we kneeled on, the same spot. So young Abe and I kneeled together there on the kitchen floor. It was a rather poor house and all, but we kneeled together and praised the Lord. That God answers prayers. And I know there's some here whose fathers, whose mothers have been praying for you for years. If there's one here that's not yet saved, don't put it off. God loves to answer prayers. Those of you that are mothers here and fathers, spend time on your knees. For your children, for your grandchildren. Hannah here said, for this child I prayed. And God granted her petition. Don't be discouraged. Maybe some years. Abe Sr., he never saw the salvation of his son, but they're going to be together in the glory. So, let's not neglect to pray. And if you have a praying mother, think of it. Are her prayers answered? Have you come to Christ? Do you know your sins forgiven? You can know it this afternoon. Well, now I'd like to turn to another household. John's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm going a little backwards here. But in John chapter 12, we find a house where there's three members of this household, and some of them we've often spoke of or thought of. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They lived in a house in Bethany. And I feel sure there was prayer that went on in that house. We don't know. It's also called the house of Simon the leper. They knew what sorrow was, testings, trials. But we don't want to get into that tonight. Our time is too short. I just want to think of particularly one member of that household. Now, we don't find very much about him and whether he loved the Lord. But if we went back to the 11th chapter of John, it's a story that's very familiar to us all. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus was sick. He had a disease which took his life. I don't know what the sickness was. Perhaps it was a special sickness, because the Lord said it was for the glory of God. But God has his purposes. What does he have to bring you through before you'll turn to the Lord Jesus? I trust that everyone in this room knows the Lord. But if you're sitting here, that person next to you thinks you're saved. Some others that you associate with think you're a good Christian. You often hear that term, a good Christian. Well, ask yourself, am I saved? Lazarus was brought up in this house, and he knew his sisters loved to have the Lord come there. He knew his sisters loved to entertain and have the Lord for supper. And he knew his sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha loved to serve. But I don't know about Lazarus' faith. But what I do know is he got sick and he died. He died. The Lord Jesus said earlier in the chapter that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. For the glory of God. And sure enough, he succumbed to whatever sickness it was. And he was dead. The sisters call for the Lord. He comes. He waited 2 days still before he started to come. And the disciples, they were a little nervous over this. But then the news came that Lazarus was dead. Helpless. Dead. Could have brought in a doctor, but too late when they're dead. Too late. So the Lord comes. If there's just one in this audience tonight who is dead in sins and trespasses, the Lord knows your condition. Your friends may not. The Lord knows where you stand. Do you have eternal life in Christ? You can have it. It's available to whosoever will. But when you're dead, when this body's dead, no turning back, is there? For the believer, we've read this afternoon what it'll be to be clothed upon with that body from on high. What a wonderful time it'll be to be finished with all the sicknesses and troubles and sorrows of this world and to be with Christ, which is far better. But let me warn you, dear ones, if there's one here that will die in their sins without Christ, as hopeless and helpless as it can be. Well, the Lord comes. We're not going to go into the details here, but he comes to comfort and strengthen and help these dear sisters who are weeping over their brother who had died. And the Lord wept with him. I've got to be careful how I express this. Jim kind of set us straight on why the Lord wept with the brother, with these sisters. It was indeed weeping with them that weep. He felt what they felt. What a gracious Savior we have. But there was the other side of it that was brought out too. The Lord saw what sin had wrought in this world. And he wept, even though he knew what he would do, even though he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Still, as he viewed what sin had wrought, his tender heart wept. Is he weeping over you? Hope not. And I hope there'll be joy this evening in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know, Lazarus here, I believe, is a little picture to us of someone who is indeed dead in sins and trespasses. Not only is he dead, but Martha said to the Lord, "Oh, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. He stinks." Before I was saved, that was my condition. Dead and stinking. He's in the grave and the grave is closed. They don't want to smell any of that old smell and that stink. Don't want to look inside. Don't want to face the facts that he's gone. He's corrupting. Corruption has set in. Sin is corrupting. If you're still in your sins, if they've never been washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, you're not only dead in sins, but corruption setting in, has set in. Well, not to take that much time, the Lord is, he goes to the tomb where Lazarus is. He says, roll away the stone. Oh, Martha says, whoa, just a minute. Oh, stinks. No, don't roll away the stone. Sometimes the gospel seems a little too blunt. We get afraid of mentioning that the end of the road without Christ is hell for all eternity. In the lake of fire. Do you think perhaps we should just not mention that because we don't want to scare anybody? In Lark Harbor, where we've had the gospel tent for a good many years, the minister of a certain church there was going to have a Christmas sing-song. And instead of singing song, she said to the audience, I was told this by someone who was there, she said, one of the kids at school came to me the other day and asked me about hell. And she said, they're getting that rubbish from the gospel tent. She said, there's no such a thing as hell. It's what you make it here. And you're supposed to be a minister of the gospel. And very sad. A couple of people told me about it. And it wasn't, I think about a month later, she had a stroke. The Lord closed her mouth. She never said another word the rest of her life. Mouth was closed. Dear friends, there is a hell. And as much as it breaks my heart, there's going to be young people. There's going to be boys and girls that are going to, they're going to go there. Why don't we just ignore it so you can just go on right straight there? Oh, people tell me we don't hear about hell. God is faithful. God is faithful. He warns us that the day of wrath is coming. The day of judgment, the great white throne. If you stand before the Lord in your sins, that's just where you're going. But maybe you don't want to hear it. I'd rather hear about it now and learn the way of escape than wait till I'm there with no escape. There'll be no escape there. Well, Lazarus was in the grave. Martha said, oh, don't open it. Don't get into that. It'll stink. We can't stand it. Well, the Lord simply said to Martha, said I not unto thee if thou wouldst believe, thou wouldst see the power of God? So then they opened the grave. They open the grave. And the Lord is standing there by the grave, in front of the grave. Did he say, oh, quick, shut it, it stinks. Oh, no. Oh, he cried out in that voice of power, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Oh, what a rescue. What a rescue. Are you still dead in sins and trespasses? Oh, the Lord is calling to you tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have a Savior that's longing for your salvation, that wants to bless you. You can say no thanks. You know, Abe Lehman went on for 40 years, having been warned. The Lord was gracious. Saved him at the last possible second. So near eternity was he. The Lord saved him. And you might pray for him if you ever think of it. His wife isn't saved, and she's not too happy with his telling this story. He loves to tell the story. He tells it over and over wherever he goes, of how the Lord saved him. Not only saved him from the freezing of his body, but the burning of his body in hell. Saved from hell and saved for heaven. What a glorious message. And there's a lots here that are saved from hell. Saved for heaven, awaiting that moment when the Lord is going to come and take us home together to the Father's house. Oh, I'm so happy that I had a praying mother. I had a praying grandmother too. Thank God for that. Perhaps you have a praying mother, a praying father, grandmother, or grandfather. May the Lord answer those prayers for you tonight. Don't put it off. You may not be so, I was going to say, fortunate. Sometimes that word isn't the best. You may not make it through those icy waters and be pulled out and rescued, saved. But God is speaking to you. The very fact that you're at the gospel meeting tonight, the last meeting of these meetings here, the last opportunity is before you. Come tonight. Won't you come? Come now, the Lord says, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The other one was snow. Get those mixed up. I was going to say I'm only human, but I'm very human. I make a lot of mistakes, but the Lord is good. Well, Lazarus came out of the grave, and he was bound with grave clothes. Did the Lord care about that? I did. Oh, he said, loose him. Loose him and let him go. Loose him. Well, I want to read one other verse, and then it's time to close. 12th chapter of John. I'll just read verse 2 to save time. Most of you know this story. He came to Bethany, and there they made him a feast. And here's what it says. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Isn't that sweet? Lazarus, the one who was corrupting in the grave, who the Lord in His mercy called forth and set him free. Now he's sitting at the table with the Lord. Would that be a word to someone here? If the Lord has set you free, saved your soul, you're a new creature in Christ, He has a place set for you at the table, at His table. Wouldn't you take your place there? He'd like to have you there. You know, think back of Mephibosheth in the Old Testament. He was afraid of David. In fact, he wrecked his legs running away from David because he was afraid. But he ended up, by the grace of God, by the kindness of David, sitting at the king's table. The rest of his life. He never left that position. Isn't that sweet? Well, if you're saved by the grace of God, May you find your place at the Lord's table. He wants you there. There's a place for you there. Well, that's all. A short message, but may it touch our hearts. We'll just thank the Lord. Now, our God, our Father, we give thanks for our precious Savior who rescued us from hell, saved us from hell, and saved us for heaven. Lord Jesus, we want to thank Thee for that great salvation paid for in full at Calvary's cross by Thy precious blood that was shed for sinners, shed for rebels, shed for me. Lord, if there's one who cannot say this for themselves tonight, may they learn what it is to know that they have eternal life. They might know that they're saved and on the way to glory. Oh, Lord, we pray Thy blessing. We thank Thee for this time together with our beloved brethren. We pray to bless Thy word in every place where it's gone forth. We give Thee thanks together in the worthy, precious, holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.